is Danny and Gallant on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Time to put on the show.
It is Danny and Gallant, and we bring in Michael Bumpus, who's stepping into the lineup for Brock Heward today for Blue 42.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
Bump! How are you now?
What up? Good. How are you?
Doing well, though I am a little bit annoyed that the NFL is foisting a playoff system where seven teams from each conference would end up making it in. It seems like this will be a part of whenever a new CBA is struck, and that we could potentially see a two-conference playoff system with seven teams making it and only one team getting a bye week as soon as next season. What do you think about this?
I'm not too sure about this. I kind of like the system that's in place, and I'm wondering what makes the NFL want to make this change. You know, I appreciate that the playoff is an exclusive group. You know, I feel like when you add a team, it kind of waters it down a little bit. Why not just keep it the same and keep things the way they were? But maybe I'm old-fashioned. I'm getting old. I'm a grumpy old man. I kind of like things the way that they are. And it kind of rubs me the wrong way. How do you feel about it, Paul?
I don't know if I want these schlub teams like the Steelers, who this season were quarterbacked by Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph, and the Bears, who are only a game out of playoff contention with Mitchell Trubisky. I'm not feeling it. I see some of the positives, and Danny, you brought up some of the positives. And you, Danny, like the idea of only one team getting a bye week.
Yeah, I like only one team getting a bye. I think that adds to the incentive to be the top overall team. I think it reduces the chances that you're going to have. I think it's tough when you have one of your better teams that decides to rest players in week 17. I think that's bad for everybody.
And I think we might get more of that, too, down the stretch. I think when it comes to seeding, if there's one team getting a bye week, well, what do the other six teams that make the playoffs necessarily have to play for if they find themselves out of the running for that number one seed?
That's interesting, Paul, because I see it as I think we'll get less of the best teams coasting, because there's very few teams that will know that, hey, you know what, I've got the top seed all wrapped up. They'll know that I've got one of the top two seeds, and at that point it becomes, well, how important is it really to be the number one seed versus the number two seed, because there's not that much difference there. But I hadn't thought of that you might have more teams saying, well, we're not going to get the number one seed anyway, so we'll just coast toward the division title.
Right. So it's double-edged sword.
I'm okay with guys coasting and sitting guys down. This is the NFL. 16, 17 games is grueling. There's injuries and stuff. So I appreciate two teams knowing, okay, we got to buy a week. Let's rest some guys, because you don't know. It's week by week. You know, guys get hurt play by play. So I'm okay with having two guys or two teams having a bye week, just because I want to see the best product out there. So I'm okay with seeing two teams rest or two teams have a bye week. Maybe I'm just old. I'm getting grumpy. I don't know. I just don't like it.
Let me ask it this way. Which do you guys like less? Do you prefer less the expansion of the regular season for an additional game, 17 regular season games, or two additional teams making the playoffs, essentially two more playoff games on the schedule? Expansion of the playoffs or this expansion of the regular season schedule? Which do you like least?
That's a tough one. I probably like least the expansion of the regular season. NFL is already tough, man. I mean, it's grueling. You never know what you're going to get week by week. Guys can be down. You got to bring guys up. You got to bring guys up from the practice squad. So I would probably go on the side of expanding the regular season. I just like things the way they are. I don't think anything's wrong with it. I want to know, like, why change it now? I need an explanation. I need more.
I think that's it, Bob. I think it's just money. I personally, I would prefer them to add a 17th regular season game as opposed to a 7th playoff team making it. I don't want to have as much preseason as we have, that shrinks down in the preseason. I know it's going to add to potential player safety concerns, but I just don't want another team making these playoffs. You're getting closer and closer to half the league making it. Forget that.
It's not the NBA, right?
No, come on.
Question two. What's a realistic expectation for a guy coming off a torn Achilles as Will Dissly is, Bump?
Man, low expectations. I mean, you look at Kobe Bryant when he tore his, and you look at KD, we'll see what he does. And I feel like football is such an explosive sport that you can't really rely on a guy with a torn Achilles. That's why you signed Greg Olsen. That's why you signed the 35-year-old guy that a lot of guys are hating on right now, because you just don't know. It's so important to what you do. It's explosiveness. It's getting off the football. It's jumping up to get the football. So I think that Will Dissly is a soldier. He's been through injuries. He has a positive attitude. I think he's going to come back and be okay, but it's kind of hard to bang on a guy who's torn his Achilles and has some knee issues as well. So I would lower expectations and really appreciate the signing of Greg Olsen, because now you have some depth. And if Greg Olsen doesn't work out, you still have Jacob Hollister, who has shown that he can get it done. So Will Dissly, I hope the best for him, but I would lower my expectations for sure.
Psychologically, that's just got to be hard to trust your body after going through two injuries like that. I think he's going to go through the rehab process fantastically. I think he shouldn't rush anything back. But to get back on the field when you've torn an ACL and then you've ruptured an Achilles, that's got to be just a weird feeling, sinking one in the back of your mind every single play.
It's like every step you take, every move you make. What's that song go? I'll be watching you, right? It's like, you know, you have to have a psychological battle going on in your head. I've had injuries, and I've had those battles as well. Thankfully, I didn't have the injuries that he's had, but you listen to him talk. He's such a positive dude. You know, he's so positive. So he makes you believe in the process. Me personally, I would struggle with it, but if there's anyone who's going to get over it and make it happen, it's Will Dissly. I love his approach. I hope he comes back 100%.
Question three. All right, Brock. Excuse me, Bump. Sorry. It's Thursday. I've been conditioned to believe that one person's another person. Russell Wilson's mental coach doesn't let him listen to country music. It's because of too many negative thoughts. Michael Bumpus, what do you think about this?
Too many negative thoughts. So he must not listen to hip-hop either, because hip-hop is pretty negative as well. Whatever works at this point. I mean, Russell Wilson, I've learned not to doubt Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and John Snyder. Whatever they want to do, I'll sign the petition. I'm all for it because it seems to be working. But country music, I feel like you should listen to whatever puts you in a good vibe. I think that him telling him not to listen to country music has kind of made him think of country music as negative. What if he really liked country music and it was all positive vibes, even though you're not really listening to the lyrics, you're probably listening to the melody and the beat. So, but at this point, I've learned not to doubt anything that they do, because Russell Wilson is a super successful person. He's a super positive person. He hires a lot of people around him to make sure that he's intact and ready to go for the season. If this is an approach that they want to take, then okay, I'm all aboard. I don't really listen to country music anyway, so it doesn't affect me.
Yeah, that'll preach, know, Bump. Come on. Come on.
Here's the thing. I mean, generally, by and large, the guy in the country song gets owned way more than other genres of music. Like, usually hip-hop, it's like, I'm going to throw money around, I'm going to buy a Rolex with some ranch on the, like, different references to jewelry, those sort of things. Country music is like, my dog ran off, my wife left with my best friend, and
not
I'm sure going to miss
time,
him.
Guys,
Ashley not
come
feeling
on.
This. Ashley yeah. is a big country music fan.
I know, but I gotta it's say, just general. Generally, the guy in the country song is getting owned in some way or another.
Or, well, the country music songs are generally like, I'm just like you, and I'll go down to my pickup truck with my gun, and I'm going to go out to the street for the afternoon with my son. See it, right?
I'm going to make you guys a playlist of positive country music. Come on.
I just think of Carrie Underwood. Carrie Underwood does go hard on guys. I give her that. Like, she She throws us under
the
bus.
She keys the cars.
I guess if that's your angle, then I get it. But I figure you listen to whatever makes you feel good. And sometimes, I guess, negative music kind of makes you feel good. If you just like the vibe, you know. And a lot of people don't even listen to the lyrics of music. They just kind of listen to the melody and the beat. So, you know, but if that's what Russell wants to do at this point in his career, I'm not mad at him. He's experimenting with his hair, his facial hair. He's doing a lot of things differently these days. So if country music is out, then okay, Russ, I'll jump on the bus with you, and I won't listen to country music because I don't really listen to it anyway at all.
Speaking of bus, do you think he listens to, like, Wheels on the Bus, Kids Bop? Kids Bop 3.
Probably.
Hey, Russell Wilson's got some young kids now coming out, Kids Bop.
Do you have any Kids Bop albums, Bumpus?
I do not have a Kids Bop album. I put on a clean playlist from Spotify and let my kids go ham in the backseat.
There we go. I want you to listen to this, Michael Bumpus. That wraps up Blue 42. DK Metcalf, it was on with the Pardon My Take guys, and he talked about the shirt removal during his combine meeting with Pete Carroll.
Was it weird when Pete Carroll took his shirt off with you in the combine interview?
Yeah.
Can you explain that story? Like, how did it go down?
They had a scout that was like my group leader, and he was like, when you come to our meeting, take your shirt off. And I was like, nah, I can't do that, bro. And then he was like, yeah, do it. He's going to be fired up about it. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. And I walked in and with my shirt off, and he took his shirt off. We're two shirtless men just hanging out. Yeah, and it
just
was
guys being dudes.
It was a little weird at first, and then
just guys being
I was
dudes.
Like, all right, that's what I mean.
Those guys proceeded to take their shirts off.
Yes,
and DK Metcalf informed them they should put their shirts back on. At what age is it no longer appropriate for a man to remove his shirt in public, Bump?
As soon as you do not see definition in your chest and your stomach, I think. It's a wrap. I think of old guys taking their shirt off, and I think of rich Italians on a yacht. And it just doesn't look good. And Speedos at that.
Oh.
So as soon as your chest doesn't sit up, I think, hey, man, it's okay to go into the pool with your shirt on. Do whatever you want with your shirt on. If you don't look like DK, if you're not ripped up, it's all right. You get a pass. I'm good with it.
Wyman has a great expression. He says he would much rather now be more likely to go outside without pants on than without a shirt.
Awesome.
Bump, we love having you on. You're going to be on with the guys this afternoon, aren't you?
Yep, 3 to 6. I'll be there.
That's right. Tell Wyman to keep his pants on when you're in there. It is Michael Bumpus with us here, Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Thanks so much, Bump.
No problem, guys. See you.
Paul, we've been putting together and trying to group quarterback rankings, and I think both of us share the opinion that sort of the elite quarterback table, like that idea of deciding who's elite, like that's very passe. Like that, I don't really have much interest in separating it, saying here are the 12 actually really good quarterbacks, kind of the guys you can win a championship. I think it's much more fun to group the guys 1 to 32, and then the bottom few teams, they're not even sure who their quarterback is, so you get a few extras to throw in there. It's much more fun to group them into tiers that way.
Oh, yeah, and I think if you start from the bottom and you go and you look at the guys who really just should not be starting in the league anymore, start with them. It's fun. So, like, for example, my least favorite quarterbacks in the NFL this past season. No quarterback was worse than Mason Rudolph. He is awful. He is an awful, awful football player. I know that the Myles Garrett thing happened, but honestly, like, didn't a lot of fans potentially feel the way that Myles Garrett felt about Mason Rudolph watching him in that game?
Yeah,
I mean,
Browns fans are like, why are you doing that? We need him to still be in there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He was so bad in that game. I also don't want to see Joe Flacco again. I'm sorry. That he had a nice little playoff run. He got tons of money. But no more of him, no more Mitchell Trubisky, no more Marcus Mariota. The ship has sailed on all of these guys. I don't ever want to see them play another down of quarterback in the NFL.
Is it fair to put Mariota in the same category as Flacco and Mason Rudolph, who are guys that, like, Mariota, he might not be good, but he might still be he might still be salvageable.
Yeah.
Like, he's not worse than Tyrod Taylor, is he?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think Mariota should consider a position change because I think his athleticism is something else. And I think that part of his game actually still can be highlighted. But this is a guy who does not want to throw a football past 5 yards downfield. And I think when you get to that point and you lose your confidence and you bench for Ryan Tannehill, it's probably time to consider other options. And I think he's so fast. He still is one of the fastest players in the league. And I think he is, outside of Lamar Jackson, the second fastest quarterback. So I think that's something that he maybe could do.
All right. So those are the guys you want no more of.
No more.
Shoot them off to the moon. Rudolph, Mariota, Flacco, Trubisky, all gone. Next tier.
Okay. This is the guys. These are young players, and I don't think they had the best of starts. Everyone jumped on the Daniel Jones hype wagon after he tore up one of the worst defenses in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And after that, he didn't do a whole lot of anything. Now, here's the problem. You got New Yorkers who think that like any small sliver of good quarterback play is good based off of having been forced to watch Eli Manning for the last 5 years. And they think that, okay, Daniel Jones is onto something. I need to see a little bit more. I think he was crowned way too early. I put Dwayne Haskins in that same kind of conversation. I think Sam Darnold's still there because he's stuck with Adam Gase. And also Josh Allen is in that conversation. Josh Allen's on a good team. That Buffalo Bills defense is one of the best in the league. And this is a guy that I feel like is really holding those guys back. I feel bad for the Bills defenders. I would imagine if they're in the locker room this season and they see more of the same Josh Allen, they're going to start to look the same way that the Houston Texans defense, when I covered the 2016 team, looked in the locker room, like sitting in a corner, basically like glaring at Brock Osweiler. You don't want
to. All right, next group.
There.
So those are the guys, young guys that you can't give up on yet, but you're, if you had to bet one way or the other, you think that it's probably more likely to be a negative outcome than a positive outcome.
Exactly.
Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So after that, you have the, okay, these guys are actually competent, but they are nothing more than a good backup or a placeholder. And I think we'd all agree that Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, Jameis Winston, Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, and Nick Foles are all in that kind of conversation.
They're kind of a warm body. They
right.
can competently do the job. They might even be able to get you to 9-7 in a given season, but you're not really going to do much more than that. That's going to be their ceiling.
Exactly. And you know what? I think if you're the Las Vegas Raiders, it's still weird to say right now, you got to think long and hard about doing something other than Derek Carr.
You got to find somebody else. Even if Carr turns out to rally and bounce back, at this point, it would be negligent if you didn't look for another quarterback if you're the Raiders.
Exactly. He might be a competent quarterback, but is he going to win you anything? I think you know the answer to that question. Can he keep you as a 7-9, 8-8, 9-7 kind of team? Sure, but you need more than that. And I think that's the big problem that a lot of these teams have. They're so scared of the unknown that they are willing to stick with someone like a Derek Carr or a Jameis Winston for years and years and years. I have a separate category. This is entirely after this, Danny, and it's entirely one person. Baker Mayfield, who if I had to rank him among quarterbacks right now, based off of the way he played last season, no matter how much I like him, he was 23rd in terms of like guys that I look at and I would want to have going forward. Because I think that there's something there. But I don't think that we can fairly say it was all Freddie Kitchens last season. I wonder if maybe Baker bought into some of the hype and potentially did not do the kind of work that was necessary for a young quarterback to do in his second season. What do you feel on that one?
I like Baker Mayfield, and I've turned around on that because I previously, when he came into the league, I thought he didn't have the right mentality. I thought he was too cocky, and I thought he was too concerned with what people thought of him. I actually thought he handled a tough situation relatively well last year. I would take him ahead of any of the young quarterbacks, Dwayne Haskins, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. I'd take Baker Mayfield ahead of any one of those guys. I'm not at the point where I'm like, we need to find a different quarterback in case Mayfield doesn't work out. But if they don't make the playoffs this year, I will be in that step. I would say he remains a 50-50 proposition about whether or not he'll be a guy that can get you to the playoffs if you're the Browns.
He's got to get his head back on straight. And I maybe even know Freddie Kitchens helps him with that. It does not help having an Odell Beckham Jr. type with him. After that, I have a group, and I don't know how to rank any of these guys. And I put a question mark next to all of them. These are all guys who at one point were people that you would feel confident in maybe taking you to a Super Bowl, outside of maybe the first two that I'm going to list. These are the question marks. We don't know where they're going to play next year. Andy Dalton, Matt Stafford, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Don't know what to, how to feel about any of them. Even Roethlisberger, I mean, he had an elbow injury last season, and now we're expecting this guy who looks as about as disheveled as one possibly can be. Looks like Joaquin Phoenix. Remember when he had that phase where he grew out that beard and he was awkward on David Letterman?
Like, that's on the dirty man strike. He stopped bathing.
Right, exactly. That's what Roethlisberger looks like right now, except for perhaps more Sasquatchy, if that's even possible.
So you have five guys there that are maybe physically breaking down, because Stafford has a broken back, Cam Newton, Brady age, Rivers age slash shoulder,
right.
Roethlisberger elbow, and then Andy Dalton, who we
know.
He just might he might have peaked there.
Right.
Of those six guys, I let you pick one for next season. Who are you taking?
If I have to pick between those six, oh, that's tough. I mean, it's
Dalton, Stafford, Newton, Brady, Rivers, Roethlisberger.
For me to not pick Brady, I feel like would go against a lot of all the fiber in my
being.
43
years old. He looks terrible the past 2 years.
He did not look very good. I will say he's not turning the ball over like Philip Rivers.
Yep.
I want to bet on Cam Newton.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think that the shoulder is the most difficult thing to get past with Cam Newton. I don't think it's necessarily the injury he had this past season, which I believe was a foot injury. It's more the shoulder that I wonder about long term, because we saw with Andrew Luck that was a problem. Then after
number
that,
one guy I would take there is Newton. The second one I'd take is Andy Dalton, just because sometimes when you get a guy out of a terrible situation, he might get in the rejuvenation machine. Like, Dalton might be refreshed to get away from the Bengals, but he also has, of all of those guys, has the lowest ceiling. Like, he's never been that good. All those other guys have been great. All right, next tier. So those are the question marks, guys who may or may not be ready for the recycling bin.
Someone texted in, hey, where's Gardner Minshew? Well, he's in my special baby boy category, and this involves three young quarterbacks that we saw play a little bit last season who I actually feel somewhat good about going forward, but I could easily be putting them towards the back with the Daniel Joneses and the Sam Darnolds of the world. Drew Lock, who had a nice finish to the year. You got to wonder why he wasn't on the field earlier for Denver. Gardner Minshew, who I think that there's something there. I don't know what it necessarily is, but it could potentially blossom into something. Maybe he's an Alex Smith or something like that. And then you have Kyler Murray, who I think really just jumped off the screen in terms of some of the things that he can do. The big problem is, okay, well, behind that offensive line and with the help that he has in Arizona, how do you feel about him right now? But I like those three young quarterbacks.
All right, we're now going to get into the actual good players who started for playoff teams. We'll do that when we come back on Danny and Gallant.
You are listening to Danny and Gallant,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
It's a case for this to be made as one of the more famous hip-hop beats ever. It is Danny and Gallant, and Paul, in counting down his quarterbacks, we've gotten through the riffraff. We've gotten through the recycle bin.
We've been.
We are now on to the actual good quarterbacks. I think you've got 13 left to count down. Who's our next tier?
So this is a tricky one. This is a tier where you can talk yourself into believing that this person can win you a Super Bowl, but you're going to have to do yourself some serious talking to. And I'm basing it entirely off of last year. In fact, I feel dirty putting one of these guys in the conversation altogether. But with the way that he played down the stretch and with the fact that he was a game away from taking the Titans to a Super Bowl out of some miracle, Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins are all in this same realm. These are all guys that if you really want to talk yourself into believing that they can take you further than they took you last year, go ahead and do it. But do we really think that Jimmy Garoppolo or Jared Goff are ever going to be back in a Super Bowl? Do we really think Kirk Cousins is ever going to get you there? Do we think that Ryan Tannehill is going to have the same stretch that he had to finish last season and into the playoffs, getting the Titans at least at one point to a position where they held a fairly commanding lead over Kansas City? It was very early.
10 to 13. Those are the four guys that are there. So outside the top 10, you've titled them only for the bold. I would have two different alternative titles for this.
Okay.
First is the guys that are just good enough to get you fired. The guys that are just good enough to get you to the point where you believe in them, you think that they're going to take you there, they get you to the playoffs, and ultimately they're never going to get you over the hump. And as long as you have them, you're eventually going to get canned because
exactly.
You can't get over that hump. I would also say alternatively, and this might be the better one, and it's stealing from Bomani Jones, that they're the American dreams. Those four men are the American dreams. Not as good as their salary would indicate.
No. And Ryan Tannehill is going to get
Everybody
paid.
Wants to be paid better than how talented they actually are. And those four guys, each one of them, I think, and that's in anticipating of the payday that Tannehill is going to get. But look, he's already been a top, a high first-round pick. He's already made a ton of loot in his career.
I got no beef with James whatsoever. He's the American dream, right? Not as good as his salary indicates. That's what I want to be. I always want to get paid like I'm better than I am. So, like, good for Jimmy.
Good for Jimmy, and good for Kirk, and good for Jared Goff, and good for Ryan Tannehill.
The total of those four guys' contracts is like alarmingly close to $500 million.
and then you look at it, but we need. Why do you need 17 games in the NFL? Because you have to have the money to overpay guys like this.
Yes, exactly. It's nuts.
How else are you going to afford to give somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo $30 million in a season?
I don't know, man. But that's something that's happening right now. Then after this is, I think, where we get into the conversation of quarterbacks who legitimately could win you a Super Bowl. I am going to call Matt Ryan. Danny, the Lord of Statistics. He has had some incredible numbers over the course of his career. And yet I watch him. I don't feel like I'm seeing what I need to see to believe him. I think that ever since Kyle Shanahan left the Falcons, they've been in this weird desert that they just can't find an oasis to escape from it.
You're right. They got better in the second. Matthew Stafford used to be in this, right? Now Matthew Stafford's kind of broken down and he broke his back. He was like junior Ryan, right? He had all of Ryan's stats, but none of the actual successes. He was the deputy, the underlord. He was the, if Matt Ryan is the Lord of Statistics, he was the Baron.
Baron von Ryan. Baron von Ice.
The Earl of Statistics. All right, next one. We're in the top eight now.
Okay, so you could call this the bar fight starters because Eagles fans and Cowboys fans like to fight with one another. You could also call the Paul Gallant is a flip-flopping fraud division. This is Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott. With Dak Prescott, statistically this season, he was incredible. He looked a lot like we've seen from Matt Ryan in the past. From a mobility standpoint, he's got it. I think he's got a solid arm. And he's got pretty good weapons around him, and you would think that he would have been able to take them a little bit farther than last season. Was Jason Garrett the reason things were held back, or is there something else? Is it actually Dak himself? And then you've got Carson Wentz, who struggled for a lot of this season, but then when you watched him down the stretch, you noticed the receivers around him, you noticed what he was able to do with not a whole lot, and there were some impressive things to look at there. Wentz still is in that same kind of conversation of, man, he checks all the boxes, but the injuries keep happening. Throw the injury thing to the side. There are some really good elements of Carson Wentz, but we have also seen firsthand that some of the elements that Wentz brings to the tables are actual liabilities. Like, and it's hard to really explain what they are. You just watch it and you see it, and you get this vibe of he's got so much talent, something's missing. I don't know quite what it is. I'm a big Carson Wentz believer. I feel like eventually my belief in him is going to be rewarded, but I was flip-flopping on him this entire season. I said I was off the Wentz wagon. I'm back on the Wentz wagon, bloodied and bruised and honestly looking disheveled.
I give you the choice, Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Carson still, although I flip-flopped on that, which is why this is the Paul Gallant is a flip-flopping fraud division.
All right, there we have 7 and 8. Probably the two guys that you can believe are franchise quarterbacks. They haven't quite done it yet, and you would start a fight by asking which one would you take ahead of the other. Probably two very debatable. We're top six, next tier.
Okay, do we still believe in Aaron Rodgers? Do we still believe in Drew Brees?
I believe that they're good enough that they can still call their shot about when they're going to leave, and you can't plan to replace either one of them. Do I think that either one of them is going to win a Super Bowl here on out? No.
I don't think
either one's going to get to a Super Bowl? No.
It's hard to envision Drew Brees getting back with the way that the Saints played this season and then losing to the Vikings in the first round and with how he played in that playoff game.
He looked bad.
Right. And if you looked at last season as well, the 2018-19 season, he deteriorated down the stretch, and I don't know if that was a one game thing or if that was a sign of when he plays about 16-17 games or so, Father Time sort of catches up with him and his shoulders just isn't quite the same. Brees is someone that I wonder about. Rodgers, I really wonder about, because Rodgers has fallen off of a cliff, but and by falling off of a cliff, I don't think you would argue that he is the best quarterback in the game anymore, just based off of the last couple of seasons that he's played. But, I mean, he's not that old. I mean, he's, what, 35 nope. years old? And we know when he's on his A game, and we saw it firsthand with the Packers against the Seahawks in the playoffs, like, he's pretty terrifying. But how do you get back to that, where he's consistently that guy week in, week out? He was not that for the most part this entire last season.
I would agree. I would agree with that. If you gave me the choice between the two, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's ever going to be back near, I don't think he'll be in an MVP discussion again, like seriously in an MVP discussion.
And as we get closer to the top of my quarterback rankings, there will be an article on this on 710sports.com by the end of today, Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson are close. They're really close to being considered, I think, some of the best in the game. I know Lamar Jackson sort of struggled against the Titans. Sort of, maybe it's an understatement. I think he can throw a lot better than people make it out to be, and I think a lot of people were just waiting for a chance to pounce on Lamar Jackson with the season he had last season. He was awesome. He was awesome last year. That arm, I feel like, is going to get better. Those receivers around him are going to get better. They just ran into a wall, and I think sometimes when you win that many games in a row, you just don't really know how to handle adversity again. And I really like Deshaun Watson. The big problem with both of these guys is there is a hitch in their game, and they need to figure it out. Watson holds on to the ball way too long. Like, we think Russell Wilson holds on to it long. Deshaun really holds on to it long. And Deshaun is not as good, anywhere close to as good at this point in his career, at picking things up at the line of scrimmage as Russell Wilson. But I feel like there's a lot of Russell Wilson light in him, with like an extra bit of playmaking style that is a little Vic-like when it comes to throwing the football and just being able to escape guys in the pocket. Those are two guys that I really like and I would buy stock in at this point in time. Big problem for Deshaun is that he is working with Bill O'Brien as head coach and as general manager and as, I don't know, I mean, I imagine he has many more titles that we're not even aware of.
The best two. The two guys that are undisputed,
answer.
Right?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson.
These guys are in a tier. It's far above, I think, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. And you can take your pick as to who's better. I know a lot of us here are going to say Russell Wilson over Patrick Mahomes, and I totally understand that. There's an inherent bias in all of us when we watch a guy and we see him all the time. Mahomes' arm strength and the ability to throw at all those different angles, the fact that he's young, and the fact that I don't think he's that far off from being the kind of runner that Russell Wilson is at this point in his career, I think that there are a lot of things with Mahomes that would make me say he's number one. But I think right now, these guys are by far the best two quarterbacks in the game. Like, I don't think you can really put anyone else in the same conversation as those two.
What's funny is I think that we agree way more than we disagree on the actual rankings of the quarterbacks. I just group them differently. I'll show you how I do that. We'll do that next year on Danny and Gallant.
You are listening to Danny and Gallant.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, here are your hosts, Danny O'Neill and Paul Gallant.
It's Danny and Gallant, 710 ESPN Seattle. So I went through my quarterback rankings. I have different tiers, different categories for all of them. Danny O'Neill is doing it a different way. Danny, elaborate for the class, please.
I really liked Bar Fight Starter. This is just for the record. The Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz, because I think that's the perfect spot for them. And people will, those are the two guys who are most comparable and will evoke the most spirited debate. I'll start out with the guys that I define as the franchise quarterbacks.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is they could be absolutely terrible in 2020. Like, they could be awful. And those teams are still not even going to have a shadow of a doubt about who's going to be their starter in 2021. These are the guys. This franchise is hitched to them. They have no reservations about it. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's Russell Wilson. It's Matt Ryan. It's Deshaun Watson. Lamar Jackson, Carson Wentz, and Dak Prescott. There's really not anything. Even if Dak Prescott doesn't sign a free agent contract, nobody wonders whether he's going to be the quarterback there next year or the year after that, because the Cowboys are just going to franchise tag him. The next tier is where it gets interesting, and I've got four guys, and these I categorize as the, oh man, we really, really, really hope they turn out to be okay because there's no chance we can change direction yet. In fact, we can't even really think about changing direction without undermining the possibility that this guy might still be good, and we really, 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 really need him to be good. So this is fingers crossed. We're pot committed. we're going to have to see how this plays out. And even though we think we might be on the wrong end of this, we can't fold yet.
Okay.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, Mitchell Trubisky, and Kirk Cousins.
Oh, God, you're putting Trubisky up there? Oh, my goodness. Oh.
And it's not about how good Trubisky is. It's about the situation his team is in with him. They're not going to be able to bring in another guy this offseason, and they're going to spend the Bears will spend this entire offseason talking about how good he is and how much they expect him, because they've already given up so many resources that GM and that coach know that they're sunk. Their only chance to come out of this with their jobs is for Trubisky to turn out to be that good. And so they're like, hey, in spite of everything we've seen with our eyes over these past 2 years, we're committed to the idea that this is going to be good because we don't have an alternative.
Ryan Pace is the Bears' general manager. Matt Nagy is their head coach. The idea of both of these guys going into next season with this guy as your quarterback is suicide. End of story. It is not going to work out for them. I don't know why coaches and general managers get themselves into this mode. Look, they actually, I think, have a better chance, Danny, of saving themselves by realizing they screwed up and admitting they made the mistake. Obviously, maybe that hurts them, and maybe they get fired midway through the year, but this is
they
not going
to
work.
They don't have the resources to find another quarterback. They've already spent it. They spent it trading up. They spent it trading for Khalil Mack. They don't have the resources or the time for them to find another quarterback. So they look at it and like, our best bet is that we get a Blake Bortles-like AFC Championship game season out of Mitchell Trubisky.
It's never going to happen. Like, Andy Dalton would be, I think, a perfect solution for them. And I don't think he would cost that much. And the Bengals
no chance they're
him.
Going for it. No chance that they're going to be able
should.
To get him.
They should,
nope.
though.
Nope, they're pot committed to him. They've got it. Their only recourse is to hope he's good. And then there's the group of guys that he's still young enough for us to hope. Like, he's still young enough that we don't have enough evidence to know that he is or isn't the guy. But, man, we've got enough room here. We can hope that he's going to be good. Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Drew Locke, Gardner Minshew, Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray. And that's not in the right order, because out of those guys, I think Kyler Murray is probably the most solidly proven that, hey, you know that guy's going to be pretty good. I think that Josh Allen is probably the one that you have the most evidence on that he's not going to be very good.
That ain't happening, right.
But he also made the playoffs, so it's then. The next group is the guys where you ask, is it time to recycle them? Like, they're off the counter. Is it time to throw these guys out, honestly? Like, do we have enough? Is there enough syrup left in the bottom of the jar that we can get another, they can coat pancakes again? Or is this time to rinse it out and put it in the recycling bin? Ben Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Drew Brees is in there. And Cam Newton.
It's hard to pick between all of them. And you know, part of me wants to pick Brady just because I feel like Brady's the TB12 method is going to get Brady back in the right track this coming season. But, I mean, I'm probably talking out my keister on that one.
You know, if you're the Patriots right now, you don't want him to play somewhere else. But you don't feel great about him playing for you.
No, you don't.
Right. Like, it's that, hey, even if this costs us a season, it's worth it to have him end his career with us because he's so great.
Exactly. It's like, well, let's just have him sit here.
The idea that he's going to be that it's going to be better next season than it was this season is what, a 5-10% chance? Like, it's most likely not. And you're going to give him a raise to get him to stay,
which is going to hurt your ability to give him more weapons, which is in turn going to hurt his ability to be 5-10% better.
Should he be recycled? Maybe, but you want to keep him around. You're not going to be able to do that. And then there's the guys that I identify as the warm bodies, which is just like, this guy's filler. He's gonna keep the spot warm.
Okay.
Like, nobody has any, like, he's not a full blown cadaver. Like, you don't have to poke him with a stick, but he's just keeping the spot room warm. Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Duck Hodges in the 21st century, whoa, or whoever the hell is there in Pittsburgh that you man to have it do it. Miami's quarterback, like, quote unquote quarterback, which I guess is Fitzpatrick, Josh Rosen, anybody else that's just got a pulse.
Ooh, Josh Rosen.
That you're propping up. And then I put Aaron Rodgers here, but that was just because I wanted to be mean. Aaron Rodgers is really probably, he is much more, he's between the franchise quarterback and is it time to recycle him yet, but he's closer to the franchise quarterback than he is the recycling bin.
What do you think's wrong with him? Because I don't think that all of a sudden, like, it's father time or anything like that. Part of me thinks that he is turning into the very thing that he hated early on in his career. He is becoming Brett Favre, in that
He's just doing his thing.
He is just showing up. Yes, he is showing up. He is listening to cute little Matt LaFleur in his offense. And he's like, okay, that's neat, little Matthew. But guess what? I'm going to do things my way because I've always done things my way. Whether it was Mike McCarthy here, who I threw under the bus, or you, who I would also throw under the bus. And offensively, they had some success running the football this season more than they have in years past, and there was some balance there. But, like, you watch the games, and I was so annoyed, Danny, on social media seeing people say, wow, look at that one throw Aaron Rodgers made. Oh, my goodness. He's still the same quarterback. He's still the GOAT. And then, like, he'd throw five other bad passes after that, around that, and people would just ignore it. He, for whatever reason, seems to get more benefit of the doubt than any quarterback that has been struggling of late. And it's been a couple of years for Rodgers.
I think he's really good. I don't think he's good enough to make up the deficit they have on other parts of their team anymore. I think for a period of about 3 or 4 years, he made the Packers look, he played so well. And he was, in my mind, the 2010 to 2014, like that 5-season window, I think he was the best quarterback in the league. Other guys had big seasons and other guys had big statistics. But year in and year out, I think Rodgers was the best. And I think he made his team look better than they were because of that. He's not capable of operating at that level. And they've receded a little bit. And then I think his personality makes it look worse because he's got a little bit of he lets people know it's not his fault, even though it's pretty subtle body language. Like there's a certain level. So I think that has made it more pointed. I don't think he's certainly as good as Phillip Rivers was, prime Phillip Rivers. It's just that he's not quite at that. He was the best quarterback in the league like he was 2010 to 2014.
It's Danny and Gallant, 710 ESPN Seattle. A wise philosopher once wrote, turn and face the strange changes. Don't want to be a richer man. That is not the NFL. They want to be a richer man because they're going to drop some changes on you. We'll tell you what they are next on Danny and Gallant.